Weren't the kids fantastic? Man, I really appreciate, and I know we really appreciate, I know God sees the investment that you're making, getting your kids here Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday. There are other options for your time. Like, you are busy, and there are a lot of things pulling at you, and I just appreciate, and I really see you making the effort, keeping it a priority to get them here. So thank you for that. Well done. And I just don't think you regret keeping your kids in church. Like, just, I think that's a good choice. So, hey, I'd like to talk to you from Colossians. We're doing a series in the book of Colossians, and it's called Maturity in Christ. And the idea is that the more we have the gospel in front of us, the more centered we are in the gospel, it will change our thinking and it will change our behavior. You'll kind of see that as we go through the passage today. And where I'd like to end up is just offering you this prayer. Jesus, take me with you. Jesus, take me with you. I'd like to end here because I think this is an important prayer, because I think it's easy for us sometimes to get stuck. You ever been stuck? Stuck in a behavior that you wish you weren't stuck in? Stuck in an addiction that you hate but you can't really get rid of? Stuck. Stuck. I think this is the answer. Jesus, take me with you. So there's this PhD at, I think it's Harvard, that taught a class on willpower every year. And the class gained popularity and gained popularity and gained popularity and had long waiting lists to get into. Willpower, you know, like, has to do with getting unstuck. And so she eventually wrote a book on willpower based on the class that she taught year after year. This comes from part of that. So this is about willpower. You know, trying to stop smoking requires willpower. You might not know that, but it requires a lot of willpower. So in 2009, a study found that death warnings trigger stress and fear in smokers. Well, imagine that. So what they did was they tried to scare the bejeebies out of smokers by showing them graphic images of what will happen if they keep smoking. So the lung cancer, the throat cancer, the, you know, all the stuff that is just as graphic as they can get it to evokes as much fear as possible, hoping that fear would give them more willpower so they could get unstuck. Exactly. So 2009, they did this study. Warnings trigger fear and stress, exactly what public officials hope for. Unfortunately, this anxiety then triggers the smoker's default stress relief strategy. Smoking, yes. Instead of getting them unstuck, it got them more stuck. You know, the more you're like, oh, I've got to stop, and you're more stressed out, and I'm so stuck, how do I get unstuck? The more stuck you get. Now, this is the pattern that she describes in her book. There's indulgence, in this case, smoking, but they first discovered this for dieters trying to stay on a diet and then getting off their diet and be like, well, nuts on it, I'm just going to eat whatever I want the rest of the day. And they're like, why do you do that? Why don't you just minimize the damage by messing up once and being like, oh, well, and then staying on track? Instead, they indulge once, they shame themselves terribly, and then they overindulge, and that creates greater stress, and it's this terrible stuck cycle. This applies to gambling, it applies to porn, it applies to all manner of ways we get stuck and stay stuck in our own power. So she keeps writing, a group of 144 adults ages 18 to 50 have been given handheld personal computers to keep track of their drinking. Think the old Palm Pilot days. Each morning at 8, the participants also logged on to report how they felt about the previous night's drinking. The researchers wanted to know what happened when the drinkers drank more than they intended to. Not surprisingly, people who drank too much the previous night felt worse in the morning, headaches, nausea, and fatigue. But their misery wasn't limited to hangovers. Many felt guilt and shame. Like, I will never do that again. I hate myself. Why do I keep doing that? Why am I stuck in this pattern? I'll never do that again. Like maybe it's not drinking, but you felt that way about something, I bet. You've been stuck in something. That's where things get disturbing. The worse a person felt about how much they drank the night before, okay, you caught that, right? The worse they felt, like, oh, I hate my, there's so much self-loathing. The more self-loathing they have, the more they can't believe they did it again. Do you think the more or the less they drank that night and the next? Getting stuck is serious. Like, this is not fake. This is not pretend. Like, you get stuck. You're like, I hate this. I want to stop. I hate this. I want to stop. I hate this. I want to stop. I can't. Once you're stuck in the cycle, it can seem like there's no way out except to keep going. But the thing you're turning to for comfort can't stop the cycle. It can't. It just gets you more stuck. And I'd also add to that, the same human effort that got you into that stuck cycle can't get you out. You might be stuck in a different cycle, but you'll still be stuck. Because it only generates more feelings of guilt. We're talking about getting unstuck today. You know, in 2018, there's a soccer team that thought it would be cool to go cave exploring. Sounds like a cool thing to do, right? Unless you're in Thailand during the monsoon season. And so 2018, this soccer team goes into this cave. They go in, of course, through the entrance, and they go back here a ways, and then without them knowing it, it starts raining and raining and raining and raining, and then the cave starts to fill up with water. I don't know if you can see this blue here, but this is water where the cave had filled up with water. And so the soccer team is 2.5 miles back into the cave. 2.5 miles back into the cave, and the cave is filled with water, and it will be months until the cave drains on its own. They are stuck. You remember seeing this on the news, the Thailand cave rescue with this team of soccer players? So they're stuck. So what has to happen? Well, this elite, because not just anybody can do this. There are only a handful of people in the world that can navigate underwater caves. This elite team makes this trip all the way back in here to get the boys. And they bring body bags with them. And they have the boys put on oxygen masks, get into the body bags. Then they get out their hypodermic needles that they brought with them. They give the boys shots. The boys have to trust them. The boys have to, like, what else can the boys do? It is get in the body bag, put on the O2 mask, get the shot, pass out, or die in the cave. And the team is like, we don't need your help. We need you unconscious. So they go all the way back in, 2.5 miles. They bring all that stuff with them. They say to the boys, if you want to get out, this is the only way. The boys put on the oxygen masks. They get in the body bags. They give them the shots. And then they make the slow, arduous trek out with the boys. They bring the boys with them. They bring the boys out. This is a great picture of what Jesus did for us. He saw how we were stuck. We were stuck, but he came to get us. He came to join us, is what we celebrate every Christmas. And then he lived among us. He died for us. And this is what we've been saying all through Colossians. He brought us with us. We went down into the water. We pictured in baptism. We died with him. We were buried with him. And he brought us out into newness of life, into his resurrected body. Jesus brought us with him. He came to get us. He brought us down into the grave. We died to the old way of life. We died to those old sins with him, and he brought us up in the newness of life. Jesus brought us with him. Okay? So, here we are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to talk about how Jesus took us with him after I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would get us unstuck, that you would bring us out with you into newness of life. Lord, stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. Talk over me while I talk to them. Give us newness of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul begins, if. So I think that's a good place for me to begin. If, like, what I don't want to do is assume that everyone here has been raised to newness of life. Because the Apostle Paul says, if, then you have been raised to newness of life. If. So if you haven't surrendered to Jesus, if you're like, I'm just not sure about any of this, I don't know, I kind of don't believe it, I just not there yet. Just welcome. I'm glad you're here. This is what can be. Okay? Not trying to twist your arm, not trying to coerce you. This is what can be. We got like 25 minutes to go. I mean, I might as well just give you something, you know? So let's spend this time together and I'll just tell you what can be. So if then you have been raised with Christ. So Jesus took us with him, and this is what we're talking about. We went into his death, we were buried, and then we're raised with him. Seek the things that are above. So this is how we set our mind. Remember the mature slide? This is how we set our mind. We seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You're going to have a new focus. If you're like, Christ has brought me out, I'm not going to stay stuck because I've died and I've been raised, so I'm not going to stay stuck in the bad old ways. I'm going to live in newness of life. So it's going to start in my mind. I'm going to seek and I'm going to set my mind, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So the Apostle Paul is writing about when Jesus returns and makes all things new, and the future will be seated with him in glory. Now, what he's trying to do is give us a new way to think. If we're going to get unstuck, we need a new way to think. Here's a new way to think. You want to focus on your future. Focus on your future. Think of it like a car. In the driver's seat, do they have the driver's seat facing the rearview mirror or facing backwards out the back window? I mean, why would they not do that? Why wouldn't they put the driver's seat facing backwards? Because you'll crash, right? Just like in life, if you face backwards and you think about all the stuff that used to, think about all the shame, all the guilt, all the frustration, all the mistakes, and you go back and live that and live that and repeat that and repeat that, you're going to crash. In a car, they don't face you backwards. In the Christian life, Paul does not want you facing backwards at all your mistakes. So he tells them, set your mind on things that are above. Seek that which is above, because you're going to appear with Jesus in glory. Now, do they have that driver's seat facing sideways, out the driver's side window or the passenger side window? No. I tell you what, it stresses Cheyenne out. I love looking out the window at stuff when we drive. I love it. You know, there's stuff I notice. I notice landscaping. I notice straight lines in yards, like when they're really mowed straight, and I'll be like, hey, look at that. Cheyenne's like, what are you doing? We're so spiritual, we hardly ever fight about driving when we're not driving. A Like if you're focused in the present, like out the side window, you're going to crash because you're so focused on the worries and troubles of life that are here and now. You're so focused on the present temptations. You're so focused on the present problems. This is not the way forward. What the Apostle Paul is offering us is, why don't you focus forward on what will be? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory, because the shame and brokenness and frustrations of the past will not go with you into heaven. They won't. The present worries and problems of life, the present temptations of life, the stuff that is eating your lunch right now, will not go with you into heaven. Hey, somebody needs to hear this today. The stuff you've been through, the stuff you're going through, is not forever. It's seasonal. It will not go with you to heaven. So the Apostle Paul is like, get your mind off that and onto the future, and then you can have a good future. So we start with Jesus took us with him. He came and saved us from our sins, brought us to newness of life. This is the picture in our baptism, going under the water as like dying to our old way of life, coming up out of the water is like being raised to newness of life. Jesus saved us when he took us with him. So focus on the future. Then we're talking about something practical to do. Chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. This, I think, is the image. Is if you're driving through life, If life is a journey, that's kind of a cliche that it's overused. Paul's like, here's what you need to do with sin. If life is a journey, you need to give it a violent death, and then you need to leave it in the rest drop trash can and then go on with your life. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Here's the thing. He's like, with these sexual sins, he's like, the way to get this wrong is to deny it. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I just kind of like it. It's just a stress relief. Well, I don't have a problem with it. Well, then if you don't have a problem, just stop. We'll see how it goes. He's like, don't deny it. Give it a violent death. Leave it at the rest stop. And keep going. So this might be like, change your passwords, share your account, delete your account, do what you need to do to bring it out in the light where the sun will kill it. Put it off. Put it behind you. So put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them. Okay, I read that too fast. He's saying, you can have a past tense. There are people here with a past tense like your present tense. And you're like, there's no way out. There's people here who are evidence that Christ is the way out, that you can be unstuck. There's people here that will be glad to walk with you through whatever it is that you're in or looking back at. They want this to be your verse. In these you two once walked, when you are living in them, but that is in the past tense. That is behind you. But now you must put them all away. The idea is not to obsess about them, but put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Put them all away. A lot of these are have to do with that burning tightness in your chest. You know how you kind of go through life sometimes and something's wrong and you have this just this tightness, this in your chest, and everyone around you keeps screwing up, and so you have to keep yelling at them to correct them? That's a joke. Everyone else is hard to live with. You're the only easy one to live with, so you have to yell at them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you just go kind of go through life just mad. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, that is not the way out. Put it behind you. Stop obsessing about it. Stop replaying what they did to you 20 years ago over and over and over and over and over. Trying to replay those stuff over and over and over again is not the way to get past it. Stop obsessing about it. Forgive. Put it behind you. Leave it at the rest stop and keep going. You know that people who have been dead for 20 years can still control you if you let them. If you don't just forgive. Don't obsess about it. Put it away. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. This is the picture, right? This is the picture that we would have the old self. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, you've collected all this bad stuff, this trash, that's just, you're kind of stuck in it. You've had it on for a long time, and it's hard. It's hard. He's like, put it off. Don't stay stuck. Hey, some of you, look. Look. If you leave here and you don't change anything, nothing will change. You'll stay stuck. You'll get more stuck. So he says, put it off. So there comes a time when you have to take it off and put it behind you and keep going. But what you can't do then is not put something else back on. So this is what he's saying. And put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So you're going to take off the old ways, and you're going to leave them behind you, and then put on the new self, which is becoming more and more like Jesus. So you can't just stop something. You must also start something new. You can't just take something off. You must also put something on. You can't just remove something from your life. You must also fill that old gap with something better. So you can't just get rid of anger. You must also replace it with forgiveness. You can't just get rid of dehumanizing lust. You must also replace it with humanizing friendships. You can't just get rid of the old ways. You must put on Christ, who is the new way. If you don't do that, things will only go back to the old way. You'll find yourself back in the cave, stuck again. And maybe you're like, dude, I have tried that. I have tried that. I have tried that. Well, Brendan is going to talk more about this next week. He's going to handle put on more next week. I'm just going to add this. So let's read it again. This is just the part that I'm going to add. I'm almost done. And I put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is in all. Here's the thing. The Christian life was never, never, never meant to be a solo sport. And you're like, But I just don't fit in. There are not other people like me. You know, I just don't think I fit. Do you see this list? Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. Like, this is for everybody. Nobody feels like they fit. Everybody feels like this is awkward. Like, this is hard to do community. Like, yes, welcome. Good thing Christ is all and is in all. Hey. I don't want you to keep doing it alone. Live the Christian life together. Change the way you focus on life. Because Christ has saved us, change your focus. Put off, put on. And when we do this, this is how we become mature in Christ. Do you see this? So Christ took us with him to death and to resurrection. This is what we're celebrating. Resurrection hope that we can have newness of life. We need to focus on our future together and what's not going with us and where we're headed. And then we need to do the hard work of putting off and putting on. This is the path towards maturity. But it begins like those boys in the cave. If they're going to get unstuck, they had to surrender to the rescuers. They had to let the rescuers rescue them, as scary as it would be, as out of control as it would feel. This is what we have to do. As out of control and as scary as it feels, we have to pray something like, Jesus, take me with you. You're in charge and I'm not. You can save me and I can't save myself. You can forgive my sins and I can't pay for my sins. Jesus, take me with you. We're going to sing Living Hope, and man, if this is your prayer, I just invite you to sing with grateful joy. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us sing in living hope. For you are a resurrected hope. Lord, I pray that you'd help us focus on you. Put off what we need to put off. Put on what we need to put on. Lord, that you would help us get unstuck. Lord, I pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we're about to receive an offering, so if the men would come forward at this time. We're about to receive an offering. If you're new, like if this is not your church, if this is like your first time and somebody invited you or something, like we just want to encourage you not to give. Like, we're not after your money. God's after your heart. If this is your church, then join us in giving. Man, for us, this is an act of worship. So, if you want to, that's where we are. I'm out of words. Sorry.